as we come to hear God's word, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, through the written words of the Bible, you speak to us by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we pray, speak till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first reading is Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Acts chapter 4, 18 to 35. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal, and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Jaden. Please have Acts chapter 4 open in front of you. We want to be a church where we see men and women come to know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. as a church, that's one of our great desires. I take it that's one of your personal desires. You want to see men and women, boys and girls, as I do, come to know the love and forgiveness of Jesus. Come to know the identity and the purpose for life that to knowing him gives. Come into the full assurance that he will take us safely through the judgment into his resurrection life. We want to see people saved. I take it that's your aim. That's certainly us as a church, our aim. We want to see others saved, not for our own applause or congratulations or patting ourselves on the back. No, because to know God is the highest good. To trust in God, that's the best thing a person could ever come into. It's for people's good that we want to see others saved, and it's for God's honour and glory. Our church leaders want us to be reaching others. At the recent annual general meeting, I said it's the challenge that we as a church pray and work to add to our number those being saved, and specifically to see two people become Christians this calendar year. Given that half New Zealand, 50% of New Zealanders now on the census form tick no religion, working to see just two people saved seems so small. But God desires to see people of any number come and believe in him. And so my point in starting this way is we need to be praying the prayer of Acts chapter 4. The prayer that's there in verse 29, where the very first Christians, the first kind of church, gathered to pray, and here was their prayer: Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. To this point in our series, we've been working our way through over the last month or so, a series Faithful in Prayer, wanting to be a church growing in prayer. So if you're new or visiting, we've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer, we've been thinking about prayers of trust that we can pray, or prayers of praise that God deserves. Even last week we had praying what God wants for others is a great way to pray. Well, today, one prayer. The Bible trains us to pray this prayer as we long to see others come to know him. Lord, help us speak your word with boldness. We need to pray. Here's the prayer that we need to pray. Praying such a prayer is, and acting upon it, I should say, is not easy. Doing so involves discomfort, risk, even perhaps trouble. But here's a prayer that God holds out to us, that the Bible trains us to be praying. Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So that's the prayer that I want you to be praying. That's the hope of this message this morning, that you'll join with me and that we together will be praying that prayer. Well, the passage gives us lots of help and direction as to why we might. We want to have a look at the context first, then see the help and need of this prayer, and finally God's vital reason for us to be praying it. Let's go to then the context of Acts, and two particular points of relevance here, the first of which is speaking. So Acts, the book, Acts of the Apostles, it's the book which tells from how God's good news, Jesus risen, how that news goes global. The first eyewitnesses of Jesus from the dead speak, and that message comes to us, even to us at the ends of the earth. So that here we are singing praises to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How did God's good news get to you? Oh, someone spoke to you and you listened. That's how it works. That's how it worked then, that's how it works now. Jesus at the start of Acts commissioned his leaders, the apostles, to be his witnesses, to speak of him to the ends of the earth. Well, it's reached us. Here we are, New Zealand. In Acts chapter 3 in particular, the apostles, Peter and John, are speaking. Chapter 3, we didn't read this, you could read it at home. They've ministered to a man so that he's been healed. 40 years, his legs didn't work. Now, he's leaping for joy in the temple. And Peter says, this man's healing is evidence that Jesus has been raised so that everyone should turn to trust Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus is found resurrection life. And this man's healing is just a little foretaste, a glimpse of what that life will be like. And there he is, walking, leaping, praising God in the temple. And so Peter calls everyone to turn to this Jesus Christ and believe in him. And look what happens, chapter 4, verse 4. Many who heard the message believed the apostles, and they believed God who stands behind the apostles. They believed that God really is giving resurrection life. And it says, the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000 people. Wow. Just like that, they speak, the message is there. It's like, oh, will I believe it? Yes. Say 5,000 people. God does amazing things through his apostles in Acts. Signs, wonders, incredible things. The point of the signs is to underline the reliability of the message. What they say really has come from God. We really can trust the apostles' message. And so from this first point of speaking comes the second point of context, which is tension. The authorities don't want the apostles to speak. Look at verse 2 of Acts chapter 4. It says, the authorities, the Sanhedrin, were greatly distressed. Why? Because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, why are they disturbed? Why would you be disturbed about a resurrection from the dead? What good news? Oh, but hang on. Are they disturbed because this was the group that sentenced Jesus to death and now they've learned he's alive? Are they disturbed because they fear losing their place of influence over the people? Are they disturbed because the apostles' message means that the Sanhedrin will meet Jesus and be finally accountable to him? I think it's actually all of the above, which is why they're greatly disturbed. And it's why they attempt to shut down this speaking. Notice there, verse 3, they jail Peter and John. Verse 7, they interrogate them. Verse 18, have a look there, the verse we read. They call Peter and John in again and command them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Now, there's a pretty strong directive, don't you think? And then finally, verse 21, after further threats, I think threats about punishments, they let them go. The tension of the chapter is, who speaks the way of God truly? Who are the people to go to learn about God and his ways and trusting in him and finding forgiveness and having life? Are the people to go to the religious authorities, those ones that put Jesus to death? Or should they listen to the apostles who are saying that Jesus has risen from the dead and so will anyone who puts their trust in him? Well, Peter is speaking. Whatever they say, verse 12, he says, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven than Jesus given by which we must be saved. And verse 19 and 20, Peter says, what's right in God's eyes? To listen to you, authorities, or to God? You be the judge. We can't help but speak about what we've seen and heard. Like, this news from God is too good for the world for us to remain silent. We're going to go on speaking. And it is worth pausing just to ask the question, do you trust in Jesus the Saviour? Do you believe what the apostles say about him, that he's been raised from the dead, that in him is found resurrection life, a life which it begins with God now by trust and will see us go through death and into life when he raises us? Do you believe this message? I hope you do. Well, what a joy it is to know and trust Jesus. What an assurance it is to have the forgiveness of sins and to know the security that he'll take us through the judgment into life. What an identity and purpose we find in following Jesus. Do you trust him? I hope you do. It is clear, though, that not everyone does. The authorities, they don't believe. And maybe some among us here, or certainly people that we know, are yet to listen to the apostles and believe God. And so if this is you, Verse 12 is a great verse to have. Salvation is found in no one else. The life we need, the life God gives, salvation, being saved in the judgment, is found in Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know more about this, please let's talk at the end of the service today. It's really important that we all come into a saving knowledge of God. But we're talking about praying to speak. Speaking, though, brings tension. It brings tension then and it brings tension now. It brings tension for the apostles. Don't speak in this name. And it actually does bring tension today. Our situation is different. We're not apostles. They're somewhat different to us. And we're not in a situation, as actually Christians are today in other parts of the world, where to speak of Jesus is to face jail or worse. So our context is different. And yet, do you still feel the pressure not to speak? What sort of pressures do you notice when it comes to talking about the Lord with someone who's not yet a Christian? Is it the pressure not to rock the boat? Don't want to create problems. Don't want to cause conflict. I think that's normal. Is it the pressure of, I don't want to be seen to be foolish. I want them to think well of me. That's normal. Is it the pressure that we want to be people pleasers rather than conflict stirrers? Oh, I think that's normal. There are lots of reasons why we feel tension not to speak, which is why we need to pray. Let's come to the prayer. Verse 24 to 30 in Acts chapter 4. Let's see that the request actually of this prayer is way down in verse 29. There's a big long, what would you call it, a preamble. The thing you say before you come to what you want to say. Actually, in the preamble, the first part, they make two affirmations which are really helpful. God's sovereignty, number one. Human resistance, number two. Let's just notice those briefly. First, they pray, do you see, to the sovereign Lord. Sovereign, that means in charge, authority, ruling. He's the one who has power and control over everything. It says sovereign Lord, and the evidence of him being so is he made everything. The heavens and the earth. God is the right one to pray to. He's the one who made us. He's the one who can help. But there's a second thing here that we need to pray, because as God knows only too well, human resistance to God has been a reality ever since the Garden of Eden. Verse 25, they quote Psalm 2. Notice what it says there about the Old Testament. It says what David wrote is what the Holy Spirit speaks. That's interesting, isn't it? The Bible's expectation is this is not just human words, this is God's speaking to us. If we want to know what God's saying, we read his word. Because he speaks through his holy servant David. And they quote Psalm 2, where people have always been shaking their fists at God, banding together, conspiring to overthrow God. And Psalm 2, they say, is fulfilled when Herod and Pontius Pilate and the nations and Israel put Jesus to death. People have always been shaking their fists at God. So where one tension is the authorities, the true tension at work in speaking, the deepest reason why we struggle to speak, is that humankind has and is in a state of resistance against God. What happened in their day continues in ours. 50% New Zealand, no religion. We don't want God. That's the issue. And specifically, we don't want this man Jesus to be king over us. Instead, we want to be king and boss and ruler in place of him. Now, why do they mention all of this before they actually get to their prayer? Oh, actually, it's such a help. It's such a help to know God is sovereign. And it's a help to know people have always been resisting God. It won't be easy. It's a help to know that. But it's even more of a help, verse 28. Have a look at verse 28. to know that human resistance is no threat to God. Psalm 2 makes this point. Acts chapter 4 makes the same point. People make their decisions, verse 27, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, gather together to conspire. What does that word mean? Plot, plan, decide, we're going to act against them like this and we're going to carry it out. Oh, people have always been doing that. But listen to verse 28. Even this act of greatest evil, putting Jesus to death, Herod and co. did what your power and what your will or your plan, God, had decided beforehand what should happen. That's really interesting, isn't it? Not even opposition to God is outside the power and will and plan of God. Do you ever make movies on your phone or whatever and you can zoom in to sort of get something in focus? If we had to zoom in on the humanity that God was saving here, it would be like a tiny little group of ants marching with their protest signs. I haven't seen ants do this, but I reckon you could find some ants marching with their protest signs, plotting for the overthrow of God. We're going to get rid of him. But as the camera zooms out, you see these little ants are marching around with their conspiratorial plotting. Oh, they're marching around on the steady hand of God, who holds them, who sustains them, who keeps them, and who remains utterly in charge over them. The Bible always holds two things together: God's sovereignty and human responsibility. God is utterly in control. His sovereignty is always the case. But he's sovereign in a way that never affects people's decisions, because people are entirely accountable to God, always responsible to him, but in a way that never changes his authority and control. Now, do those two things do your head in? I hope they don't, but they might. I want you to hold them both together. God is always sovereign and you are always responsible to him. And I should say, God is always good. He doesn't cause evil. But here, even the greatest act of evil, crucifying the Son of God, that's still within his will and purpose and plan. It's a great help to know God's in charge. He's the one you can pray to. He's the one that can change things. He is the sovereign Lord. And so finally now we come to the request in verse 29, this prayer that I want us to be praying. On the basis of God's sovereignty, because of their threats, the church prays, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Here's the prayer for us to be praying as we seek to see men and women, boys and girls, come to know and love and trust Jesus Christ. Think about that prayer for a moment. It's interesting what they don't ask God for. In the context of threats, it might be obvious to ask, God, can you make things easier for us? Keep us safe. They don't ask for that, do they? Or in the context of wanting to see people turn to the Lord, they don't say, God, change them. Zap people. Make thousands come to you. They don't pray for that either, which is interesting to me. They say, help us speak. The thing I've really noticed and been encouraged by this week is just how God uses his people speaking as an integral part of his plan to save. It's so surprising. God could just, like with the Apostle Paul, who's a special case, he met Paul, confronted him on the road and changed him. Why doesn't God do that with everyone? Why does God use the ordinary speaking of you and me and us in bringing people to know him? Well, why doesn't God use a vision of angels or a vision of his risen Son? Why not sort of dazzle us so that we'll believe. To be honest, I think if the Son of God turned up, we would be terrified of his holiness and running for the hills. It's actually a mark of God's gentleness that he draws us to himself through a message to trust. He just sends ordinary people like you and me and us to speak of Jesus and to give the gentlest of invitations. Will you believe this message and trust me, God says. So gentle, so patient. He's not a God who terrifies us in his wrath. He speaks to us in words that we can understand, calls us to believe, and then, notice, leaves it up to you to work out whether you want to trust him. What a God we have, his power at work through the weak speaking of his church. That's what this prayer affirms. They affirm, we're just your servants, Lord, mouthpieces. Enable your servants to speak. They affirm that God is the one who actually has the message. Enable us to speak your word. And they recognise their own weakness and fearfulness. Help us to speak your word with boldness, which doesn't mean being obnoxious or foolish in manner. It means help us not to stay silent in the face of threats or in the face of pressure or in the face of tension. It affirms that they need God's power. Enable us, Lord. Strengthen us, which is actually what happens, where it says there they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. What they pray for is answered immediately. The filling of the Spirit means to be strengthened to speak the word of God. And look at the effect, would you, in verse 33? With great power, the apostles continued to testify, to speak, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Here's the prayer that we need to be praying if we would want to see people come to know and love the Lord. It'll be through our speaking that people come to trust Jesus Christ. That's how God ordinarily sees his good news spread. Think how important that is. The alternative is to remain at odds and resisting God, like those ants shaking their fist. But Psalm 2 says that is a wrong move to make. Shaking a fist at God in no way threatens God. There is a judgment to avoid. Jesus has gone through the judgment of the cross for us, that we might avoid it. Oh, how we need to hear salvation in no one else. How we need to speak salvation in no one else. And so we need to pray. Lord, help us to speak of Jesus Christ, for there's salvation in no one else. Lots of factors that might make us want to go silent, fear, unsure with words, wanting to please people, not wanting to stir up. Lots of reasons. But love. Love means directing everyone to the Saviour Jesus. Love compels us. Christ has been raised. Resurrection life is found in him. We ought to speak. So we need to pray. Our growth groups, these last weeks, we've been trying to be more intentional in praying for people who are yet to know the Lord. Praying by name. Please, Lord, this one. Please, Lord, that one. Actually, we're given another prayer here. We should be praying for one another. Lord, give us strength to speak. Here's a prayer. Will you join in praying it? Let me lead us in a short prayer. Heavenly Father, praise you that you are the sovereign Lord. I thank you that nothing threatens your power, your authority, your control. And thank you that you make us with responsibility, that we're accountable to you. And that you treat us with dignity when you enable us to hear your message and have a chance to respond. Give us all, Lord, the ability to trust you, the desire to do so, and, I pray, the willingness to invite others to trust you too. Help us, Lord, to speak your word with boldness. We pray this not for ourselves. We pray this for the good of others and for your glory and honour. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.